Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our conversation continues with Dr. Inez Trii, Assistant Secretary for Environmental Management at the U.S. Department of Energy. Also joining us from IBM is Barb Hudson. Doctor, I'd like to transition to the future. Would you elaborate on emerging challenges facing your program? And how do you take those challenges and maximize return on investment and reduce overall life cycle costs?
The first, when we talk about the future, you know, the strategy that the environmental management program has is as follows. You know, we want to reduce what we call the operational footprint of the environmental management program. In order to open the doors every morning, you know, when you have excess nuclear material, spent nuclear fuel, highly radioactive waste, contaminated media, excess facilities, we absolutely need to spend a significant amount of money just to stabilize and monitor and keep the doors open every single morning. So what we want to do is reduce the footprint that we have to do that for so that we can have less to worry about in terms of the areas that are contaminated. With the Recovery Act funds, we have envisioned a portfolio that is going to reduce the footprint of the environmental management program by about 40 to 50% by 2011 when we finish the Recovery Act. The environmental management program today has on the order of 900 square miles, you know, so reduction of the footprint by 40% is a significant accomplishment to be able to reduce the overall life cycle cost of the program. We also have a series of strategic options that we're looking at in order to see whether we can reduce the footprint by 90% by 2015. So that is our ultimate goal, is to reduce the footprint of the environmental management complex by 90%. Now, what is left in that 10%, you know, that we don't feel that we can really complete the cleanup by 2015, and it's going to take several more decades. In that footprint, we would leave highly radioactive waste in underground tanks, nuclear materials, and spent nuclear fuel. So the next challenge for the future is to ascertain how fast can we remove the waste from the underground tanks, treat that waste, and encapsulate it in very robust waste forms, waiting then to be dispositioned at a later date or disposition as low-level waste if it is going to be remaining in the different locations where the tank waste is at. We feel that the innovation in terms of these transformational approaches, that the most important innovations will come in that area of tank waste, the removal of the waste, the treatment of the waste, the encapsulation of the waste for final disposition. And another area that is all important to us is soil and groundwater contamination. We want to be able to do advanced modeling of the transport of the groundwater, and we also want to continue to explore and utilize the most advanced techniques for decontamination, remediation of the groundwater, and barriers to prevent the contaminants to reach the accessible environment.
So from your perspective, you briefly mentioned a guide for future success. Do you have any past accomplishments that you've used as a model for that guide for future success?
Yes, as I was telling you there, I think about five major accomplishments of this program that we need to be looking at. Number one, Rocky Flats, Fernald, where we have been able to clean up the entire site, the completion of the cleanup. And every time that within the footprint reduction vision, we can actually complete a major portion of the cleanup, that is essential because it is that finality associated with finishing the cleanup that allows you then to reduce the monies that are going to go to just maintaining an area where that's not exactly cost efficient, because the longer that you need to maintain an area without cleaning it up, the more deterioration occurs in that area, and it costs more and more as the years go by. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two is we need to establish for construction projects all of the requirements early in the design, starting to construct when we have less than 90% design of the facility has proven to be extremely challenging for the environmental management program. So the lesson learned there is establish the requirements early, complete design, then start building the facility. We also, the third lesson learned is open and transparent communications with the stakeholders, not only with our regulators and the states, the tribal nations, our colleagues in the environmental activist community. We need everyone's ideas in order to do our job better. And I feel strongly that the best philosophy in the academic world is that all the ideas can come into the table and good ideas survive and bad ideas perish, and nobody cares about who was the one who put the idea on the table. All that we care about is that all of the ideas are considered and that we have the optimal solution. And I think that that open and transparent communication to involve everyone in the path forward, given the important nature of our work, is the most important lesson learned that I have for all of my years in the federal government.
What advice would you have for someone thinking about a career in public service or science, or preferably both?
My advice to those individuals who want to be of service to this country is perhaps very personal. When I left Cuba, I was 3 years old, and my parents, that already had a home and cars and everything else, you know, that a young couple, middle class young couple, would have, lost everything in leaving Cuba. Absolutely everything. It would be like if somebody showed up today and said, tomorrow you're going to leave, take one bag, and per person that is going to leave the country. Normally, those bags were filled with memories, pictures. That's what's important to you. You know, if you can only take one bag, normally you don't fill it with clothing, you don't fill it with shoes, you fill it with pictures and things that are so dear to you, you know, that you want to take them with you. When you leave your country and with absolutely nothing, the value of an education, the value of what you know, the value of what you can contribute, it comes in extreme focus, you know, in your life. So for those that who are thinking about a career, you know, in science, I have felt that over all of my years, I started my love affair with science when I was in high school. And it is a love affair that anyone that is interested in a career in science will find extremely rewarding. My father was in love with science and technology, and I think that I got that love for science and technology from him. And I feel that ability to understand the secrets of the universe and do what we can to take those secrets and create something that actually would make for a better life for those coming after us is a feeling that there's nothing that equates to that. With respect to providing a service to the United States of America, from somebody like me that came to the United States from another country, perhaps it's easier to understand the beauty of the United States of America. if you were born in this country, sometimes we take the United States of America and all of its wonders for granted. When you come from a different country, you realize that the opportunities in this country are unique. There is no other country that I know of that opens its doors to those of a different background. So given that, I think that for those who want to work in science and are interested in a career in service, I have to say that the Department of Energy, with the leadership of Secretary Hsu, is a perfect place to explore those two passions of public service and science. I believe that in the United States today, there is a tremendous need for embracing the vision of the President and Secretary Hsu when it comes to energy and the energy security of the country. And I believe that the passion that the Secretary has for the energy future is contagious. And for those who want to explore a career in science and public service, I cannot think of a better place and a better area than the area of energy.
That's wonderful advice. I'd like to thank you for joining us today. But more importantly, Barb and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It has been a pleasure being here.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Inez Triay, Assistant Secretary for Environmental Management at the U.S. Department of Energy. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad, whose efforts on our behalf deserve our continued respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.